Terrorhawks, stay on this channel. This is an emergency.
Stay tuned to this channel. Absolutely classic, nail-biting stuff for folk who remember the joys of the 80s in full force. And the exciting thing is, they're back. Oh, we'll be back very shortly, courtesy of Big Finish. And, of course, the legend that is Jamie Anderson. Jamie, how are you? Welcome to the programme.
What a lovely introduction. Thanks,
Eric. Very critical. You know, it's always important, particularly, as I say, on a day where, I think, like myself, you've been down with a few other sort of bugs, etc. And despite Mr. Evans saying that you're going to actually be on the one show, well, sadly, you have to rearrange that.
I've had to bail, yeah. Unfortunately, I've had an impacted kidney stone, in fact, which has kept me rather unwell for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, me, yes. Yeah. Well...
Thanks for sympathy, Alex.
No, yeah, very much so. I'm thinking we'd need to get Hiram Hackenbacker on the case to actually sort of vaporise it in some way, but anyway.
Luckily I'm seeing one on Tuesday next
Good.
week, so all will be well.
Which is, thank the Lord for that, positive stuff. You know, the world needs Jamie Anderson, not only because you're keeping your father's legacy going, but even more. Let's talk about Firestorm. Firestorm is go. We were talking earlier on Parsec with Paul Money, and he was very excited by this latest Kickstarter campaign. Our pilot episode to be funded is launched. Share with us. Firestorm is go. Clearly, it brings in Japan. It brings in Anderson. What's it all about?
So originally in 2001, about June, July 2001, Dad wrote a treatment for a new series called Jerry Anderson's Storm Force. It was a sort of slightly more utopian future than perhaps modern sci-fi goes for, but it was, again, kind of a secret-ish organization dealing with imminent threat. In this case, it was an alien threat in the original write-up. That original series idea got bought by a Japanese company in 2002, and they made it as an anime series, which was released in 2003. And being anime, it didn't really find an audience outside of Southeast Asia, really. So it's kind of bumped around, rather hidden in Anderson history. And then last year we thought, hang on, well, this is an original Anderson thing, which we actually have some control over, and it isn't an ITV-owned property. So let's have a look at doing what we can do with it. And he'd originally envisaged it being a big sort of epic series for family entertainment, and I thought, well, you know, what are the things that kind of make Jerry Anderson's show so enduring? And so we've redeveloped it from those original documents, and it's due to be made in what we're calling Ultra Marionation.
Like it, yeah. Not Super Marionation, Ultra Marionation.
Exactly.
Very good.
It's the next step in evolution in the Marionation pathway, but it's all physical. It's all physical sets and props, real model miniatures, practical effects, so we are actually going to blow stuff up, and there's going to be, you know, flames licking all over the place and debris being blasted towards the camera, and puppets.
Sounds like an average day in the life of a University of Lincoln academic, actually, but, you
okay.
know, I won't go down that line, because obviously we'll still hopefully be one of our keynote speakers, obviously, for May the 6th next year, when, of course, we have first symposium on telefantasy that we're hosting at the University of Lincoln. So, you know, as we say, we've spoken about that, and that's another reason you need to be keep fit, Jamie, because we've got Andacon, and of course, Terrorhawks, which is in production at present, and you were at a recording session earlier this week for the audio version of Terrorhawks.
Yeah, so we've got all eight episodes are in the can. One of the episodes is an adapted version of original script that Dad wrote if Terrorhawks ever went to another series in 84. Sadly, it didn't. So that's 101 Seed, which is a fascinating, a bit slightly bizarre story. Seven new scripts, lots of them lampooning kind of modern culture and everyday life in the same way that at the time Terrorhawks and Dick Spanner was doing. We've really kind of played up the humour a bit, because I think it really found its feet towards the end of the original set run of episodes. Sort of the last 12, 13 episodes of Terrorhawks in the 80s were the ones that really kind of where it hit its stride. So that's the kind of tone we've tried to strike. We had a wonderful time. You know, 4 days over a couple of weeks with the artists. They are such professionals, and they did such an amazing job. We had a couple of guests in. My mother, Mary, who was production supervisor on Terrorhawks, and Terry Adlam, who originally worked on in the effects department on Terrorhawks and has now gone on to write one of our scripts called No Laughing Matter, which obviously is the highest comedy script in the series. Mm-hmm. They came along and they just said it was like going back in time 32 years when they were originally doing these recording sessions. All the actors picked it up so well. Sadly, Annie Riddler passed away a few years ago, and she's been replaced by the wonderful Beth Chalmers, who anyone who listens to Big Finish productions will know.
She's doing very well. And also, we have to ask, who's taken on board the role of Windsor Davis, of course, who also is up in that great heaven and the sky base thing?
Well, do you know what, Alex? I'm terribly sorry to say I'm happy to say he's not. I thought Windsor passed away. You know, I felt terrible about that. He actually is retired.
Good heavens.
In the south of France. No, you're absolutely not the only person to think that. Just because he's disappeared and he was such a character, you'd think he'd still be pestering us and calling you lovely boy.
But,
no, I always knew that Jeremy Hitchin did the most fantastic Windsor impression.
Yes.
Jeremy always tells a story about how, you know, Jeremy was a sort of spotty 21-year-old kid, effectively, in Windsor at lunchtime would say, "You and me, kid, is going to the bar," and they'd go off for a pint. So just from that little snippet, I could tell Jeremy could do the impression.
Oh,
so
what?
Jeremy Hitchin, who was Ninestein, has taken over the voice of Zero and done an absolutely stunking job of it.
You know, I had a similar sort of time a few years ago when I was doing a feature with Jean Bruce Scott, who was in the series Airwolf. I thought that Ernest Borgnine was also... Anyway, Ernest has actually sort of moved on now, so it's a whole new world. Never mind! great news is we'll be joined by Discover Middlesbrough's Rob Nichols, who's actually joining us on Parsec, who's going to sit down now. Now, Rob was very, very impressed when he actually received an autographed copy of the Shane Rimmer autobiography. And when I actually said, Jamie, that we were going to actually feature your good self on the programme today, he was almost beside himself. Were you not, Rob, with excitement and joy and happiness and such like?
I was indeed.
Exactly. And
delivered as flatly as possible, thank you.
Still am.
Exactly. And we've talked about, obviously, the return of Terrorhawks. Rob, the return of Terrorhawks.
Really?
Yeah, in audio form, all coming back. And I'll just say that one more time, actually, Jamie. Windsor Davis is not dead. He's still alive, which is fine, but he's not in the series. So great news for that. Firestorm is go, Kickstarter campaign for this fantabulous project from that point of view. Rob, as somebody who's kind of as chronologically gifted as myself, perhaps, what are your thoughts on Jamie's dad's legacy of you know, wonderment that he's left us with the world and the planet?
Oh, absolutely phenomenal for somebody who grew up in the 60s and grew up with all those programs and had the posters on the walls and maybe I still have, I don't know. But that's phenomenal though to know that so many kids were sort of they take those series through their lives, don't they, and those characters.
It's certainly sort of writ large in terms of that. Will there be another Andacon in 2015?
There will be.
Just
we haven't announced yet. We were going to announce prior to the Kickstarter, but because I just have these blooming kidney stones.
That's all. It's international rescue writ large on that sort of basis. Yeah. Moving on from that side of things. Okay, so Firestorm, that's happening. Firestorm is going from that. Terrorhawks series is going to audio, so that's great news from that point of view. There's also a fantastic box set of Super Marionation set, the precursor to Ultra Marionation.
Yep.
That's also available. Would you like to just share with us how people can possibly get hold of that by going to andacon.com?
Well, I think if they go to jerryanderson.co.uk and follow the shop link, and then the front page there, we're down to the last few days, actually, before the price goes up. So it's an amazing, amazing set with the Film is Super Marionation documentary, This is Super Marionation, which is a sort of presentation of a selection of original episodes with original ad caps and original adverts featuring the puppets. So you get transported back to the 60s, a load of HD episodes, a brand new issue of TV21, collectible postcards, and Stephen Le Rivière's fantastic book, filmed in Super Mario Nation, which is sort of the definitive work on you know, that period of 1957 to 1969. It's a huge amount of wonderful stuff in there. I think it's on for about £80 at the moment before it goes up to 100 in 3 days' time.
Our first guest, of course, on Parsec, Paul Money, was very keen to actually say that he got into astronomy as a direct result of Fireball XL5 and Space 1999 and all sorts of other areas. He's now actually editor of the BBC's astronomical magazine. You might think, oh, how does that bring in Reverend Marie Edwards, the full-time chaplain of the Trust for the James Cook University Hospital? Indeed, another sort of Parsec routine. Well, of course, the Secret Service, Marie, you might not have actually ever encountered the Secret Service, but it did tell the tale of Operation Bishop, British Intelligence Secret Headquarters Operation Priest, if I recall, Jamie. Is that right?
I think that's right.
I could be a Secret Service agent. I've watched James Bond.
Well, you see, so there we are. But I mean, apart from the Secret Service, which I think was unkindly canned by Lou Grade at the time, because he couldn't understand what Stanley Unwin was saying, apparently.
Yeah, even though that was the point of Stanley doing his Unwinese and popping policemen and stuff, Lou said, no, the Americans will never get it.
No. So it only lasted six shows. But it was, but it's still available, and, you know, I looked to pass on the DVD set to you, Marie.
I shall await with bated breath.
But Lady Penelope, obviously, lots of strong female characters. Did you have any Thunderbirds, or any favourites from Gerry Anderson's stable when you were growing up?
No, we didn't sort of watch anything like that in our household, I'm afraid.
Outrageous.
I was a Scooby-Doo fan.
Right.
And Tom and Jerry.
Kind of forgive that, I suppose. They let it back on again, Alex.
We'll move over to Rob, who, as well as being the editor of the Middlesbrough football fanzine Fly Me to the Moon, also, so I know you have the Shane Rimmer autograph pinned up in your office, very fully from that point of view. Rob, questions for Jamie about looking after the legacy, about life and all the rest of it, because I just think it's amazing, and I'm genuinely privileged, Jamie, as I said before, that you're a regular correspondent and delighted to work through all the range of things, because you're doing an excellent job.
What was it like growing up in a house with
Tara Hawks, maker of Tara Hawks?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was weird how it becomes kind of normal, Rob. That's the weirdest thing. You grow up with it, and I just accepted it as, you know, very plain and not that exciting, and it was only when when they re-showed Thunderbirds in the early 90s. My friend's parents were coming up to me going, is there any chance we could meet your dad? Oh, you know, he's a massive hero of ours. I suddenly realised that actually what he'd done was far more important than I thought. I just thought, gosh, it's a bit weird that he's got these puppets. How strange.
And now, it's moved into Ultramarionation. Quick reminder, of course, when can people actually start funding Firestorm, or can they already go with that?
Firestorm has surpassed its base goal already. We've got another 23 days to go, but we hit the goal within 4 days of starting, which for a Kickstarter campaign is amazing. And we're just now heading on to our second stretch goal, which is 65,000, and that will allow us to build an island base for the baddies in Firestorm, and then blow it to smithereens.
Yeah. See, that's what Itar Karanka should consider when he's managing Middlesbrough Football Club, etc. Just get those bases and blow them to smithereens. It's a thought. In fact, there was a TV21 episode that actually dealt with, I think, the 2068 World Cup, and actually had Captain Scarlet as centre forward. 1968.
Really?
Yeah. I just thought I'd bowled that out there as a possibility. he was assassinated by a sniper in the crew, effectively. Jamie, it's been a privilege and a delight as ever to actually feature you not only on Parsec but also on a whole range of other factors. We've got two final questions for you. I'll use them in any case. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been most interesting. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully we've zapped that kidney stone into abolition. It's not going to work. You just go away. Horrible, to be sorted. So can we look forward to again connecting with you again in the very near future, and obviously keeping us appraised of how Firestorm is proceeding? Of course, we haven't mentioned, of course, the novel that's actually out there that's around. So let's mention that novel now.
Oh, well, Gemini Force One, Dad's final sort of thing that he was working on. It's a sort of a reimagined kind of Thunderbird-type story for sort of a slightly more contemporary future, so we're looking sort of 10, 15 years into the future. The collector's edition is out and is sold out, but the mass market edition is out in April next year, so we'll send you a review copy, Alex. Also, hopefully in the next few months, we'll have some teaser snips from Terrorhawks 2, from the new Terrorhawks. So I'm sure we can send you some of that too.
It's just a round of applause, please, for Jamie Anderson, you know, the keeper of the flame, extraordinaire, doing wonderful stuff there. And a choice, actually. We came with the theme to Terrorhawks. It's your choice, Jamie. We can go out with either Captain Scarlet, Joe 90, or Fireball XL5. Marie's looking
Fireball,
very confused.
Fireball.
We're going Fireball XL5. I suppose technically we should actually say, all right, Venus, all right, Scott, all right. Do you remember Fireball XL5, Rob?
I don't remember actually watching it live. I think it was I was a bit young. But, yeah, obviously I've seen it since.
Right, exactly. Mm. You know, it's a whole year. Rob.
Well, do you remember it?
Robbie the Robot. It's one of my first, that and the funeral of Winston Churchill, some of my early television memories. A strange connection.
Really?
But there we are. You know, Fireball XL5, funeral of Winston Churchill. There we are. Jamie Anderson, we salute you. Take care now.
Okay, Venus?
Okay, Steve.
Right. Let's go. Patrol, this is Fireball XL5 returning to base. Mission complete. Over and out.
I wish I was a spaceman, the fastest guy alive. I'd fly you round the universe in Fireball XL5. Way out in space together, conquers of the sky. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball. Every time I gazed into your starry eyes, we'd take the path to Jupiter, and maybe very soon we'd cruise along the Milky Way and land upon the moon. To a wonderland of stardust, we'll zoom our way to Mars. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball. 'Cause you would be my Venus of the